We are in John, the 19th chapter, and verse 13. John 19 and verse 13. We've got Jesus' trial here. Jesus is before Pontius Pilate. Brother Dick, did you have a question?
I did.
Yes. Do you remember it?
You want it anyway?
Yes.
Luke 22:31.
Luke 22:31. Tell me about it.
Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat or desired to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brothers. Is the you there singular or plural or...
Okay, now you're talking about 22:31. I give people a chance to ask questions sometimes.
Yes.
Simon, Simon, ido ho satanos, ex a te sato, himas. All right.
So that first you, is that singular?
No, that's himas. That's a second person pronoun.
So...
All right.
Orland?
You all.
For you all.
Yeah, you all.
So Satan begged for all.
He's going to sift every child of God. He's going to sift us. He's going to torment us. Satan is going to do that. Okay? Mm-hmm. You ready?
No.
All right, no. I mean, that's it. He's going to. He's going to sift every one of us. To sift. All right? As wheat. But he said, I prayed concerning you, the faith of you. And after you've turned around, support the brothers of you. Now, when did Peter turn around? When did he actually turn around? When was Peter totally converted? Totally converted. I'm not talking about saved. He was saved a long time ago. When did he actually turn his life over to the Lord? Absolutely. It wasn't during the ministry of Jesus Christ, was it? Was it? Was it? It wasn't during his ministry. When was it? Much after the resurrection. After the resurrection. Remember, right here in the Gospel of John, we saw him denying Jesus three times, didn't we? Did he or did he not? Okay. After you've turned around, after you've been converted totally. Now, don't get this confused with salvation. How many people actually... Well, just think about this. I asked my wife this today. This is the end of the month, isn't it? What have you done this month for Jesus compared to what you have done for yourself? Art thou converted? Are you converted? How much of God's time did you spend this month compared to yourself? Huh? How much did you do for yourself this month compared to what you did for the Lord? Art thou converted? Are you converted? Are you converted? When did Peter get converted? When did Peter get converted? But did Paul ever have to jerk him around and slap him a little bit? Yes, he did. Toward the end of his life, he was finally gave everything to the Lord and just put all of his fears in God's hands. And what happened to him? He was crucified, and he said he wasn't worthy to be crucified like Christ did, so they crucified him upside down. He was converted just before that. Really converted. And what was he supposed to do? Strengthen his brethren. Where is the prophecy fulfilled? Strengthen your brethren. Where do we have it? 1st and 2nd Peter. There's where it is. 1st and 2nd Peter. Did I answer your question, Brother Dick?
Well, almost.
What do you mean almost?
In verse 32, Then it says, but I requested concerning these, and that is Su, Sigma, Omicron, Upsilon. Who is the, in my Greek interlinear, it says the.
Of you. Of you. That's second person pronoun. That's genitive singular, masculine, second person pronoun. Okay?
Yep. Now put that in American for me.
You are masculine. You are singular. Mm-hmm. Now he's talking to Peter singularly. Mm-hmm. He said up here, I'm going to, all of Satan is going to, he's going to work you all over.
That's
all of you
view.
All. But now he's talking about Peter. Now. This is Peter. Singularly.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right?
All right. Thank you.
All right. That you might not fail the faith of you. And after you've turned around, support, strengthen the brothers of you. I preached a sermon on that once.
I picked a good question.
Art thou converted? You asked a good question. It was in my sermon tonight also.
All right.
But that just brought it out right in the beginning. How many of you, you don't have to put your hands up, how many of you are really converted? Are you ready to just get with it? Weigh what you do for yourself and your own self and what you do for God and be ready to be blushed. Blush. Blush. We ought to be ashamed sometimes how much we do for ourselves and not what we do for the Lord. What's going to follow you? What's going to follow you? I always tell you, the last thing I tell you after every class is go out and do what? Something eternal. I do mean it. Don't waste your life on foolishness. Don't waste your life on yourself. Don't waste your life on so many things that we just hurry around doing all the time. What do you have you done for Jesus this month? What did you do for Jesus this month? You don't have to answer that. That's not a question that you answer, is it? What do you do? It makes you think, huh? It's not a question to be debated. It's just to make you think and to evaluate what you are, where you are in God's plan. Okay? Now let's go back to here. We got that one worked out.
Thank you.
Got that horse bucked out for just a moment. Ho, un, pilatos, akousos, ton, logon, tuton, agegen, exo, ton, asun, kai, ekathise, epi, bematos, haste, topon, legomenon, lithos, troton, ibriasti, de gabatha. Therefore, particle, a little particle, therefore. Because of this, the pilot, having heard the words these, he brought outside the Jesus, and he sat upon the judgment seat, being called lithostroton. Stone pavement is what it means. It means to pave with stones. It's not a solid concrete slab, but it means to pave with stones. To make a paved, okay? And in Hebrew, it means gabatha. And that means a curved keel or whatever, you know. It's paved again. Outside and to the Hebrew, the gabatha. All right? To the gabatha. 1914. Ein de paraskie tu pascha hora ein hos hecte kai lege tois udiois ide ho basileus himon. Brother Dick, the last word down there, himon. Tell me about that word himon. Huh? What about it? That's genitive plural. Second person pronoun. Genitive plural, second person pronoun. We looked at that a while ago, remember? Himas, didn't we? All right. Ain. They there is a weak adversity conjunction. Weak adversative conjunction, page 85, okay? That day is. All right. Now you can translate it, moreover, now, or weak, but. You know, it's not a Allah, but. You know, that's a strong adversative conjunction. This is a weak adversative conjunction here, which means moreover, and therefore, whatever, you know. Therefore, it kept on being. Third person singular, imperfect, indicative, active. It kept on being the paraskie, the preparation of the Pascha. What's the Pascha? The Paschal Lamb. What does that mean, Sharon? Passover. All right. So the Passover wasn't here yet, was it? But did Jesus take the Passover already? Yes, he did. This messes up the Catholic idea of the last week all to pieces, doesn't it? Jesus was not crucified on Friday. Jesus was crucified on Wednesday. All the historical references have Jesus crucified on Wednesday. The Catholic Church lays out the Passover week as we see it. But that's not what happened. Right here, it's preparation of the Passover. What had he just done the night before? He had taken the Passover and he turned the Passover into what? Turned it into the Lord's Supper. He had placed the Lord's Supper in his church that already existed, which most people start on the day of Pentecost, a little too late. Okay? Preparation of the Passover. Hour it kept on being about sixth. Okay? Hecte, six. All right? And he says to the Jews, Ede, behold, ho basileus himon. Behold your king. What was Jesus saying? What was the Pilate saying about Jesus right here? Come on, do your thinking. Get your thinking cast on. He is the king of the Jews. Why? This is the court findings of Pontius Pilate. These are legal court findings. Remember, according to, and he quoted their law. If you read Pontius Pilate's letter to Tiberius Caesar, you will see him lay it out in absolutely, in total integrity. Now, a lot of people will say, well, Pontius Pilate's letter's not valid. Well, you think that was made up? It's valid. It's quoted by about 10 historians that were contemporary with Pontius Pilate. How are you going to quote all of this letter and quote almost every word in it by some of these if it wasn't there? It's so like the Bible, people don't want it to be there. The people that, the agnostics and the atheists, they don't want Pontius Pilate's letter to exist because it is a extreme, extreme compliment to the Bible. What the Bible leaves out, Pontius Pilate's letter adds in. Okay? Now, I didn't bring it tonight to read it to you because I've read it to you before. You can go back and listen to it there. But what Pontius Pilate is saying here to these people, these are my court findings. Now, according to the law of Moses, if a person brings a false charge against someone, and you bring it to the judge, and the judge finds that you're guilty of perjury, you are supposed to be executed, or whatever you accuse the crime, you're supposed to have to pay for that crime, whatever you accuse that man of. So what he's doing here is he's condemning them, not Jesus. He turned their conviction upon them. Behold your king. I have found out that Jesus is legitimately the king of the throne of Israel. He's who he says he is. Behold your king. Is that something? Have you looked at it like that before? Behold your king. This is your king. This is my findings in the court. This is my legal findings. And not only did it, what else did he do? We're going to see. He wrote it in three languages. Pontius Pilate wrote it in three languages. He himself, with his own hand, he wrote it in three languages. These are the court findings. Okay? Now, if they're going to murder him, they're going to do it because they committed murder. And they're guilty of murder, and they're guilty of perjury, and they're guilty of false accusations. They're guilty of hiring somebody to try to kill him. They're guilty of hiring someone to try to capture him. A bounty hunter. Who is the bounty hunter? Judas Iscariot. They had a bounty hunter hired. I remember so long ago. I have a book at home. The Life of Tom Horn by Tom Horn. You know who Tom Horn was? Brother Dick, you know who Tom Horn was? He was a cowboy. He rode in the Apache Wars. Geronimo liked him a lot. And he liked Geronimo. He interpreted for some of the leaders there with Geronimo. One time, Nelson Miles went up there and he took Tom Horn and he took another man that he wanted to interpret for Geronimo in one of the times he was captured. And the man sent his interpreter up there to Geronimo and he rattled off some things and Geronimo just sat there like he didn't hear him. And he just kept on and kept repeating himself over and over again. And Geronimo just kept on ignoring him. Finally, Tom Horn spoke up. He said, General, he's not going to talk to you. He said he doesn't believe in that man there as the interpreter. He doesn't trust him. He said, well, what is he going to do? He's going to have to. That's my decision. He said, well, he's not going to talk to you. He's going to walk off. He said, what do you want? He wants me to talk to him. He said, why does he want you to talk to him? Because he knows that I'm going to tell him the truth. Why would you tell him the truth? Because he'd kill me if I didn't. I know I'm going to tell him the truth. I'm not going to lie to him. So he started in again trying to talk with his interpreter. And he finally, Geronimo started to get up and leave. And finally he said, okay. Tom Horn was the interpreter for the Apache Wars. He was raised by the Apaches. He was hired by some cattlemen in Wyoming. And he was they were having a cattle and sheep war up there in Wyoming. And he was killing rustlers. And it was looking so bad. And he shot a .45-60 Winchester rifle. And he was a real good shot and everything else. Well, he shot a lot of these people. And he'd always put their head on a rock and put a .45-60 shell underneath it when he killed them. And the sheep herders were fighting with the sheep herders also. And one sheep herder was fighting with this other sheep herder. And this one boy was taking the other guy's girlfriend. And so he killed this boy. And the cattleman found out about it. And he said, let's get rid of Tom Horn. They went out there and they took a .45-60 shell and put a rock under this little 13 or 14-year-old boy's head. And they had a sheriff that was trying to be a curtain climber arrest him. And they brought false charges against him. And then they hired everybody they put on the jury was people, family, that Tom Horn had killed. This is what we call a picked jury. Picked by, they wanted him dead. Well, one of his friends, I think the man's name was John something or other, he went in there and Tom Horn dictated his life to him, his life story, and he wrote it all down. And that's the book that I have, The Life of Tom Horn by Tom Horn. I have The Life of Geronimo by Geronimo. By Geronimo. I have the life of a lot of these people, a lot of those famous outlaws and lawmen. I have their lives by them. I have Britton Davis's work of On the Border with Crook all the time through this. I have Lieutenant Charles B. Gatewood in the Apache Wars. By them, the people that were there. These are first-hand eyewitnesses, aren't they? We look back here and we see a trial that's been picked. They hung Tom Horn in 1900 and something on false charges. They took him and hung him. They wanted to get rid of him. These people wanted to get rid of Jesus and he was their king. Once Tom Horn was no longer needed, instead of just saying, leave, they hung him. Made them look better. The girl that knew that her boyfriend had killed this boy, they wouldn't let her testify. They wouldn't allow her to testify. They already had a preconceived verdict. And these cattlemen were behind it. Same story is going on right here. Same story. Same story. I have a book by John Wesley Hardin, by John Wesley Hardin. Boy, he was a bad guy, wasn't he? Let's go on a little bit further. 19 and verse 15. Ikragason. Un ekenoi. Aron. Aron. Starusun. Auton. Lege. Autois. Ho. Pilatos. Ton basilia. Himon. Staruso. Apokrithason. Ho. Akaires. Uk. Ekomen. Basilia. A. Me. Kaisara. And they kept on shouting. Now the mob. This is a mob now. This is a killing mob. Okay? And the mob, therefore, they kept on shouting, those, you take. Aron, Aron, you take. Second person singular, first there, imperative. You take, you crucify. Him. You crucify Stavroson. You crucify him. Look at that word auton there, Brother Dick. What is that? Auton. That's accusative singular masculine. What is it? Third person pronoun. Accusative singular masculine. You crucify him. That's where all the violent force is going. Accusative singular masculine. He says to them, the pilot, the king of you shall I crucify. Your king? Now, I've already given you my verdict. He's your king. He's innocent. Shall I crucify your king? He's your king now. Not. Who was on the throne? Herod. Herod wasn't your king, was he? Herod was a wrong lineage altogether. Herod was an Arab. He was an Arab. He wasn't a Jew. He's an Arab. He was the wrong son. Who made up the Arab races? Ishmael. And who else? Esau. This was their descendant, not Jacob's. This is your king, he said. This is your king. The king of you, belonging to you. The one that belongs to you all. Himon. Genitive plural. Second person pronoun. See that? Shall I crucify the king of you? Shall I crucify? First person singular, future indicative act. You see that word? Stavroul. Apokritheson. And they were caused to answer the chief priest. Not we have. Ekomen. First person plural. Present indicative active. Not we have a basileia. Well, they already... Pontius Pilate already found that Herod was not the king, didn't he? Because he said, this is your king, not Herod. Okay? We don't have a king. We don't have a king except, Ame, except who? Caesar. They would rather choose a pagan emperor as king than the Son of God. Just as it was in Saul's day. Remember, did God want Israel to have a king? Did God want Israel to have a king? Yes, He did. He always planned on them having a king. His king. His king, not theirs. They wanted a king. God was always going to give them David. David was the man. He was the one that He was going to pick. But they wanted a king. He said, give us a king like what? Like the rest of the pagan nations. Okay, he said, I'll give you one. He's a real tall man. Saul. What tribe was Saul from? Benjamin. Same thing as the other Saul. What? Benjamin. Benjamin, yeah, that's right. But he gave him, David was the one they were supposed to have. David was supposed to be the king of Israel, and he gave them. A lot of people miss that rope, Brother Mike. They missed that. Israel was supposed to have a king. That was a whole prophecy. Read all the way back to the prophecy of Jacob. Israel was going to have a king. God was always going to give Israel king, but he was going to give it as a king in his time. I've heard those sermons. But those sermons are wrong. Wrong hermeneutics. Israel was going to have a king. But it was David. David's going to be that king. He's the right lineage, isn't he? All right, he's the right lineage. Not Saul. They had a descendant of Ishmael and Esau on the throne. 19 and 16. 1916, I remember that year. You remember that year, Brother Dick?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's during what? World War One, wasn't it? Way back in that period of time. Tote, Un, Paradokin, Alton, Altois, Hina, Staruste, Paralabon, Un, Ton, Asun. Then therefore he delivered, he handed thee over him. He delivered. Third person singing the first aorist, indicative active, comes from para and dynamy. Para means what? Para means what? Para. That's beside. And to give. He delivered. He handed him over, like handing a baton, him to them, in order that he might be crucified. Third person singing the first aorist, subjunctive active, or subjunctive passive, that is. I said active when I'm supposed to be passive. Third person singular, first aorist, subjunctive, passive. That they might crucify him or cause him to be crucified. Who caused the crucifixion of Jesus? Was it the Roman government or the Jews? The Jews. Did the Roman government say he was innocent?
Yes.
On all guilt, on all counts, he was innocent. And he also found out that he was the king of Israel. On top of all that, he wasn't supposed to be Herod, he was supposed to be Jesus. Okay? And they took, therefore, the Jesus. Now, actually, a new verse should have started here. All right, number 19:17. Kai, Batsazon, Alton, Altu, that is, Ton, Storon, Exelthane, Aston, Legomenon, Craniu, Topon, Ho, legete, ibreste. Golgotha. And carrying for himself. Look at that one. That's instrumental, singular, masculine, third person pronoun. That's out too there. That's instrumental, singular, masculine, third person pronoun. That out too is. The cross. He's carrying his own cross now. And he went forth to the aston legomenon. Look at that one. Ace there. Ace means what? What's the grammatical rule of ace? That's the sign of the direct object. What is it? What's the grammatical rule, Brother Roger?
Extension or limitation of thought or verbal action.
Extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. Unto the... Did you hear? Brother Dick, you can do that too. You just follow right along now.
I'm impressed.
Yep. I tell you what, my students could teach this class. The one being called. Being called. That's accusative singular masculine, present participle, passive. The one being called chronio. Chronio. What we have, what word, English word do we have from this? It's a medical term. Cranial. Cranial. Yeah. Cranium. All right. The skull, the place, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. It means skull, either way. Now, I have been to that place that they mark out what we call Gordon's Calvary. There are several of them over there. Boy, when I saw that thing, it just leaps out at you. You know? It does, whether it's the right place or not. It's probably the one where the Catholic Church is probably really the right place. But as you look at that, at Gordon's Calvary, it probably looks a lot like it was supposed to be. Historically, in archaeology, it's probably the other one that it is, but we just look at it, you know. But if you look at that one, that's probably what they saw. And that was out just on the outside of the city. It was at the gate of the city, wasn't it? So everybody coming in and going out of the city would see these criminals on the cross and their dead bodies rotting. When I was in Damascus, Syria. I spent 9 days in Damascus, Syria. If you go on to discovertheword.com, if you go on there and look under D.S. Madden, you can go there and you can listen as I recorded all of when I was in Syria and every place. And you will hear all of the things, the gunfire going on, the bombs and the shells and different things. I lost some of those. But we've got about 6 or 8 hours of it on there, recordings, with the archaeologist talking and everything. When we went by the courthouse in Damascus, Syria, for nine days. Now, I was there in December. Okay, so this is the wintertime. For 9 days, we went by the courthouse, and out on the entranceway to the courthouse is like this. It was a compound. And there's a tall, what do you call this thing where you go in? Here's the gates right here of it. Right up here is a beam. They had three people hanging there for a 9-day period of time. They did not take them down. And you could smell them as you went by. And the clothes they were wearing, you could see the excrement coming out of them. Just like you would have in the days of Jesus when Pontius Pilate. This was what? This is terror tactics. That, with the Roman Empire, was a terrorist tactic. Everybody coming in and going to the city, don't you mess around when you're in this city. When you leave, you remember. Again, because they're still hanging there. Let's go on a little further. Where him, the place where, which is the adverb of place. That hupo, Brother Dick, that's an adverb of place, okay? What is an adverb? What's an adverb? What's an adverb do? Usually modifies a verb, okay? Where they crucified him. Okay? That's the place where they crucified him. This is an adverb of place. Okay? Where they crucified him. Now we have a little conjunction. Page 208. That's chi. With preposition. That comes from meta. It's a shortened form to meta. Page 265. Out to. Genitive, singular, masculine, third person pronoun. See that there? Out to. Out to. And then others. Alus. Alus. There. That's others. Others. Other ones. Different ones. Two. To the side and side. Side by side in the middle and the Jesus. Now, I will tell you this. There was a man by the name of Bullinger, which was a great theologian. At the end of his career, he got really off on the wrong beam. I mean, really, really blew it. And a lot of people wouldn't have anything to do with him, but he was a great theologian. Bullinger saw many things in the Bible. He just was a great language historian and great theologian. He just got off on the beam at the end of his career, and he separated the church. And he began the church in the last part of the book of Acts. And he said Peter's gospel and Paul's gospel were two separate gospels. And today there are groups that are going out and doing the same thing Bullinger did 150, 200 years ago. They're trying to separate the gospel of Peter from the gospel of Paul. They've preached only one gospel. There's only one gospel, and where is that defined? In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Well, getting back to what Bullinger said, one of the things that Bullinger said, that instead of just three crosses, that there were five crosses. And Jesus' cross was in the middle. And there was two on either side. And this is where he gets it from. two on either side. You could translate that as two on either side of the cross where Jesus was, if you wanted to. Two on either side. I thought I'd just throw that little tidbit at you right now, okay? How many of you ever heard that? All right, you get Bullinger's Bible, the Companion Bible. It is good. Just don't go astray on his church business. The church was started not on Pentecost, but during Christ's ministry. Peter, and then Paul was added to it. Paul was one of the apostles of that church, and Peter's gospel and Paul's gospel are the same gospel. They aren't two different ones. And this heresy is also sticking its head back up today. In the last 10 years, there are people out there doing this. It's almost as bad as Harold Capping's business. All right? 19. 19:19. Egropsin. Dei. Kai. Titlon. Ho. Palatos. Kai. Ethekin. Epi. Tu. Staru. Ein. Dei. Gegromenon. Jesus. Ho. Nazarois. Ho. Basileus. Tun. Judeon. Now, who's doing the writing here? Pontius Pilate wrote this. Weak adversative conjunction, day. All right? Weak adversative conjunctive. And therefore, or because of this, he wrote, look at that word, third person singular, first aorist, indicative active. Also, cumulative particle, not a conjunction here, but a cumulative particle. All right? A title, titlon, a title. That's the Latin word for title, by the way. The Latin word for title, straight into the English. Only John, in all the Gospels, wrote this, used this Latin term of the title. The title of Pilate. Now, he's quoting the Latin title of Jesus. Okay? Remember, I've told you a lot of times, people say the Gospels were written in Aramaic. Aramaic was used in those days. When they did the movie The Passion, remember? What language were they speaking in The Passion? Aramaic. They should have been speaking Greek. Did they speak Aramaic back then? Yeah, they spoke Aramaic. But what was the universal language? Greek. Koine Greek. That's why it's called Koine Greek, the universal language. Okay. When the Bible quotes, like it says, Talathakume, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. When it quotes any of those things from Hebrew or Aramaic, it uses the terms. So we know what they are. It just transliterates them into Greek. And right here, John translates the word title from Latin into Greek. He just transposes it across. Okay? Pilate. And he placed upon the cross, it kept on being, and it kept on being, having been written, Jesus, the Nazarene. He says where he was from, where he's raised, didn't he? He wanted to know, let them know. And this is the King of the Jews. This is the one. According to the Hebrew Scriptures, this is the King of the Jews. According to his lineage, this is the King of the Jews. Where was he born? Bethlehem, which was the city of David. All right? Which David. David's very important because this lineage, this king would go back to David, wouldn't he? So what ungodly buzzard child of Jacob's? Yehuda. Judah. The lion of the tribe of Judah. Through Rahab the harlot. Through Ruth the Moabitess. Through Judah and Tamar. Oh, God just picks things out. You know, isn't it so wonderful how God wrote His book with absolutely no biases at all? I would have left some of those things out, wouldn't you? It's not politically correct today, but Jesus, the Lord, put it in His Word. It's there. King of the Jews. King of the Jews. The Basileia. Tun Judea. He was their king whether they wanted Him or not. 19 and verse 20 now. Two tone. Un to titlon poloi ana nuson ton udeon hote ingus ein pol, topos, tes, polios, hupol, estarothe, ho, esus, kai, ein. Gegramenon, ibresti, romesti, ilienisti. This, therefore, the title. Again, the Latin word for title. John transposes it right from Latin into Greek. Many they read, many they read of the Jews because near, Ingus, look at that word, Ingus, near, it kept on being the place of the city where he was crucified to Jesus. Remember what I said? They crucified him right at the gate of the city. And it kept on, or continued to be, having been written, Ibreisti, in Hebrew, Romesti, okay, in Romish, or in Latin, Heninesti, in Helen, Helen, what the Greeks are called Heles. We call them Greeks today, but this is Hellenisti. All right, that's the term. Hol Nazarois, Hol Basileus tu Iudaioi, the king of the Jews. 1921. We're clipping right along in here. Here is one of Mark's favorite words, elegon. Un to palato, hoi akiries, ton Iudaioin, me grafe, Hol Basileus ton Iudaioin, alla. Are all hote, ekinos, epain, basileus, eme, ton, judeon. And they kept on saying, Mark loved the imperfect tense. Now here John uses the imperfect tense. If you, when you translate the Gospel of Mark, you're going to have a whole lot of imperfect tenses. And by the way, Mark wrote his Gospel through whose eyes? Peter's eyes. You might even call that the Gospel of Peter because it's right straight from Peter's mouth and from his eyes, even though Mark wrote it. And they kept on saying, therefore, to the Pilate, the one's chief priest of the Jews, not you write the King of the Jews, but that one, he said, King I am of the Jews. Why did they want that? Because he had what? Incriminated them. He had incriminated them. And they weren't happy and they were bawling and squalling and screaming. Even though they got their way, the man dying on the cross. But it's not enough. They want more. They want more. They want more. Apokrite, ho Pilatos, ho Gegrafa, Gegrafa. And he answered the Pilate, what I have written, I have written. What I have written, and it is my judgment from the court. You're not going to change the judgment. You may have had an innocent man murdered, and you're guilty of murder, you're guilty of perjury, graft, assassination of character, and all these things, but I'm not going to change what I said, because that's the finding of court. 1923, Hoi Un, Stratiote, hote, estra ruson, ton esun, elabon, ta himatia, altu, kai, epoison, tesara, mere, ekasto, staratiote, meros, kai ton ketona, ein de ho keton, Arophos, ek ton, anathane, he phantos, di holon. Now we've got this particle again, how we start this sentence, that's un. Therefore, the ones, what? Stratiote. What's a stratiote? What word in English comes from stratiote? You know, young lady? Stratiote. 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 Strategy. And what does an army? Army is strategy. Now, Muhammad said, war is deceit and lying. That's what Muhammad said. But war is really what, Brother Roger?
Strategy.
Now, there are rules of war, of conduct in war. There's rules of conduct. Muhammad broke all the rules of conduct and warfare when he fought. He lying, deceit, whatever it was, he did it. No rules to him, because I'm winning. Whatever it took to win, that's what it mattered. All fair, in war. Now, in the American Civil War, the greatest general in the history of America was Robert E. Lee. He was the headmaster of
West Point.
He taught every general how to be a general. When the Union split, and by the way, you know who arrested John Brown? Who was the guy who was the arresting soldier, the arresting general that arrested John Brown for trying to cause the Civil War? You know who the man that wasn't arresting was? Robert E. Lee. He tried to stop the Civil War the best he could, but when his state, Virginia, went with the Civil War, went with the South, he resigned West Point. All those generals were scared to death of Robert E. Lee because he could whoop all their socks off. He whipped every general that they threw against him, whipped them with unbelievable numbers and disadvantage. He whipped them, and he whipped them, and he whipped them, and he whipped them, and he whipped them. Finally, Lincoln hired two wolves. Two wolves. Remember what those wolves' names were?
Grant and Sherman.
Grant and Sherman. Sherman was a snake, and Grant was the same way. These men weren't worthy of licking Robert E. Lee's boots. And they fought him and broke all the rules of war. Because that's the only way they could win the Civil War. They burned, they pillaged, they raped. Sherman's soldiers, he said, anything that you go in there, take what you want, rape who you want. The spoils of war. No way in the world would Robert E. Lee allow his soldiers to do that. They threw men at him. They threw men at Robert E. Lee, and he mowed them down with tears coming down his face because he saw all the human bodies laying out there that they were throwing at him, because those men, those generals, didn't have a heart. Robert E. Lee did. He had a heart. He had a heart for his men. He was out there with them. When he finally surrendered, he put on his best suit, and he walked in to sign the deal. Grant was there. All of these soldiers. And when Lee walked by, they all took their hats off. They were all muddy, bloody, and everything else. Lee was pristine, and his skirts were clean. He had fought the war correctly. They only whipped him because they broke the rules of war and human, what we call courtesy. They broke them all. Strategist. War is strategy. War, we have rules of war, don't we? The rules of war. In World War II, when we were fighting World War II, the Germans arrested and captured a whole, what we call a British set of troops there. And they took them out and shot every one of them. They shot them all. Mowed them down. You know why they did that? It was legal. It was legal. What they did, the German soldiers, was legal for why they killed them. Why did they kill them? Why were they illegally able to kill them? Roger, you know?
They weren't in uniform?
No, they were in uniform. They were doing something that wasn't according to the rules of war, the Geneva Convention. What were they doing? What were they doing wrong? They took their bullets and were making dum-dum bullets out of them. You had to have full metal jackets on your bullets. If a man got shot, he was wounded, but the dum-dum bullets killed the soldiers, and they ricocheted and mushroomed inside, and all of them had these dum-dum bullets. So, since they broke the Geneva Conference, the Geneva Rules of War, they took them out and lined them up and shot them all. When they had those dum-dum bullets, they were breaking the rules of war. And legally, Germany did execute those men. That was not a massacre. That was execution, because they had broke the rules of war. Strategy. This is what we call strategy. These are warriors, strategists. The soldiers, when they crucified the Jesus, they took the garments of him and they made four parts. To each one, soldier parts. And the tunic, the ketona, this is his underwear now. This is one. He was naked. Jesus was naked. He had no clothes on. He had no clothes on. They took all of his clothes on. He's standing up there naked. Naked. All these men were totally naked. You know what else? You know what else you did when you crucified somebody? You embarrassed them. You made them naked, like they came in the world. And naked they're going to go out of the world. Showing they had nothing to cover themselves. They kept on being the tunic, seamless, and out of the top, the upper, woven throughout the entirety of the garment. 1924. That was a good year. 1924. Apon, un pros allelus, me skiasomen, auton, alla laxomen. I couldn't make my mouth do that. Peri autu tinos estai hina he grafe plerote he legosa dia merisanto ta himatia mu hiatois kai epi ton himatos tismon, that is mu ebolon Pleron, hoi, man, un, stratiente, tauta, emoeson. That's a long verse. And they said, per service imperial, second earth, and dignity of active, and they said, therefore, to one another, not we may rip it, but we may gamble for it, we may cast lots for it concerning it. Of whom it shall be, in order that the writing it may be fulfilled. And the writing, it says, they parted, divided the garments of me to themselves. That's Psalm 22:18, see? And over the garments of me they threw dice, or they cast the lots. The ones indeed, therefore, soldiers, these they did. 1925. Eis te kaison. De para tu staru ton eso. He mater autu kai he adelte. Teis materos autu Maria he tu kle pa. Kai Maria He Mega Delena. And they stood, well, we could verse the conjunction. Moreover, they stood beside the cross, the Jesus, the mother of him, the mother belonging to him. Look at that word autu there. Autu, that's genitive singular masculine third person pronoun, the mother of him, and the sister of the mother of him. All right? And his sister. One of his sisters was there, see? And the sister of the mother of him, Mary.
Aunt?
Huh?
The sister of the mother would be the aunt?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's the dad or
his sister? Yep. The sister, his aunt, his mother, probably some of his sisters, probably some of his brothers were there. You know, the Bible doesn't include everything. But John is seeing this, and so he writes down what he sees right there. He doesn't write down everything.
Yeah, John was there.
John was there. And of the Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. Mary from Magdalene. All right. Magdalene. 1926. We'll go just a little bit further. Jesus un edon te matera kai ton mathetain pares tota un agapes agapa, that is. lege te materi, gine ede ho huius su. Jesus, therefore, having seen the mother, now this is why John wrote this. The Catholic Church has, you know, the ideas of the Catholic Church, you know, the Holy See, the Pope, the Apostle of the Catholic Church, he receives, according to Catholicism, not to the Bible. I don't believe this, okay? I'm not saying something I believe. But according to the Catholic Church, that the Holy See, the Apostle of God, the Pope, he makes continuous revelation. Well, as we go down through history, they have made continuous revelation about Mary. Mariolatry started about the 4th and 5th century. That's when they began to worship Mary. Okay? The Kaaba in Mecca had an engraving of Mary and Jesus there because they were worshiping Mary. That was one of the gods that they were worshiping in the Kaaba. That's where that stone is that fell down from heaven. You know, that's the thing they're worshiping. The, what we call Astarte or whatever. The moon god and the star, all of that. And the disciple, having stood by whom he loved. Now this is John. See, John's there. And he says to the mother, woman, all right, woman, you behold the son of you. Not me, but look over there. That's your son now. Jesus was the huios. He was the heir of the family. He was the one that was heir to the throne. Joseph, his father, should have been on the throne, which the findings of the court said, John, or not John, but Pontius Pilate said, that this is the king of the Jews. This is the one that's supposed to be on the throne. Okay? Woman, behold the son of you, the heir of you. Now, John would take care of Mary, and John would be the disciple that lived the longest, wouldn't he? All the rest of them died younger. But John lived, according to some historical records, he lived to be 138 years old, and they were carrying him to the church in Ephesus where he was pastor when he was 138, when he finally died. They carried him on the stretcher, and Mary is buried in Ephesus. That's where he buried her because he took care of her until he died. Now, the Catholic Church has her not having any more children, which she did. They're having her, what they invented the Immaculate Conception. She was immaculately conceived. Okay? She was conceived without sin or anything else. And that she died, was taken into heaven. God didn't suffer her to die. That basically, God took her up like He took Elijah and Enoch into heaven. And she's there making intercession for all the saints. Now that's Catholicism. That's not the truth. Okay? One more. Kai op ikaines tes horos elebane aute ho mathetes eis ta idia. Then he says to the disciple, behold the mother of you, the mother belonging to you. See that word su there? The mother belonging to you. And from that the hour he took her, the disciple, unto the things of his own. Jesus was the eldest son and the executor of the estate and the executor of his father's will. And it was his responsibility to take care of his mother. And since he was dying on the cross for all humanity, he handed over the baton to John. And he made sure that John lived long enough to take care of his mother and to bury her. And John wrote 4 of the writings of the New Testament, the Gospel according to John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the Book of Revelation. Okay? Actually, 5 altogether, which is 5 is the number of grace. Took her unto his own things. All right, so we went tonight from 1913 to 1927. All right. Do you have any questions concerning this? Any erotao? Any questions? Any more questions, Brother Dick? Did you learn something tonight? Did you get something out of this, I hope? Brother Mike, did you get something out of this? All right. Yeah.
If I painted a picture with two on each side, there would be controversy.
That's right. Just paint the picture with three. You could paint. Well, there's pictures with the others. Matter of fact, I think in the Companion Bible, there's a picture with two on either side.
Right.
In there. Yeah, there is.
So if I painted one with two on each
side. I would just paint the picture with one on either side, okay? That's the most accepted idea. Very few people know what I just told you tonight, okay? All right? But this is the scripture they teach it from. All right. How about you, Pamela? You got any questions?
No, but I have learned that if there were two on each side.
It could be.
Yeah,
it might be.
And I learned that
John
asked me a moment, something that I yet you did not know.
Well, there was probably a string of those.
They did a lot of crucifixion. That one was right there. Bullinger may have been right on this. There may have been five people crucified. Five was the number of grace. There may have been five people crucified, two on either side, but I guarantee he wasn't right when he talked about church. There wasn't Peter's gospel and wasn't Paul's gospel. There's only one gospel.
Well, goofballs interpret the Bibles and say Paul came along later, infused Greek thought into Christianity, and I read, watched movies about this kind of stuff, which I personally thought was poop, but it's amazing how hard people work to try to discredit the gospel.
Yes. Well, Bullinger just went out in left field. He was a brilliant man, but he went out in left field on Peter's gospel and Paul's gospel. You can go read about this, read his writings, and you'll see him doing this. And there's a whole new group of people today doing the same thing, making Peter's gospel and Paul's gospel two different gospels. And it's almost like Harold Camping. But see, once he did that, then he no longer had any respect in as a theologian. Once he did that, because everybody else knew that he's out there in left field. He just went off. Oh, one area he went off. Okay? But, boy, he was a brilliant man. But in that area, he just went out in left field. Let's have a word of prayer. Brother Roger, do you want to dismiss us in prayer, please, brother?
Father, thank you for your word.